Welcome back, everyone, to the Single Parents Network. I'm Energy, the Single Parents Coach. I work with both single fathers and single mothers around areas of relationships, co-parenting, how to communicate effectively and peacefully, and so many other topics. On this channel, you will find and hear and learn a lot of practical steps that you can use and take action on today. So this week's guest, I have Diane Byron, and she's here to talk about single parenting. She's here to talk about the importance of putting your oxygen mask on first, and so much more of her experience and things that she has actually gone through. So, Diane, please introduce yourself to our listeners and let them know what's your connection or your relation to the topics that we're going to discuss today.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Energy. And clearing my throat a little bit here. I have been a single parent for about 12 years now. I got married in the year 2000. My husband and I at the time were like, this is perfect. We'll always remember how long we've been married because it's easy to add up from zero. And I waited until I was 32 to get married because I'd seen several of my siblings get divorced and I didn't want to get divorced. I was like, nope, nope, no. And sure enough, it eventually occurred. And what I learned has been really important on letting go of any attachment my ex-husband has in their relationship with my daughter. And I got to have a bird's eye view even well before I got married on peaceful co-parenting, on creating great relationships with your prior partners, because I watched my brothers and my sister create that with their own former partners and raise really amazing children. I have 11 nieces and nephews, and 9 of them were from quote unquote broken home, which I don't believe in that term, by the way, because it's the home isn't an actual place. And sometimes it's so much more important to create loving experiences for our kids. And sometimes that means couples do not stay together. Right? And their home is whole if their parents are able to create safety for them. And I think that's critical.
Definitely.
Right? And so I watched my brothers and sisters and I still was like, I'm still not going to do that. And then sure enough, it happened because it needed to. It wasn't a healthy relationship. It wasn't anything awful, but we weren't in the same place and it wasn't working for a million different reasons. And it wasn't good for our daughter. And when I made the choice, I made the decision. I talked to my ex-husband and I said, this, you know, we get to figure it out. And it was really super peaceful compared to what I've seen in the past. We went to one appointment with both our lawyers and we walked out, I guess it's called mediation. And we had an agreement right then and there. And I encouraged my daughter to spend time with her dad because it's important. He moved in with his parents who lived not very far away. And over time, it became clear that it was not in her best interest to continue to see her father. And so we made that choice. But the important thing was she still got to see her grandparents, because I think that's critical. Just because one side of the family isn't, you know, working doesn't mean you cut off the entire side if it's possible. I know in some instances it's not. In my instance, it was. And I wanted her to experience that because my mom passed away a year before I got divorced. And she never met my dad because he's been gone for 30 years. So those were the only grandparents she had. So it was really important to maintain that relationship. And she was their only grandchild because my ex-husband is an only child. So it was a critical relationship. And it took work and it took a lot of me looking at my responsibility for the breakdown of the relationship. And for a long time, I was all about, you know, pointing fingers, him. And I got some support. I think that's another thing that I think single parents, I love what you do as a single parent coach, because if I had had a single parent coach back, you know, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, 3 years after I got divorced, the woman who's now my best friend wouldn't have been asking me, did you get divorced 3 months ago? Because you still sound super angry. She was like, when did you get divorced? And I said, 3 years ago. And she was like, really? Because it sounds like 3 months. And I was like, I guess I have some work to do.
Yeah.
Right. And what I learned was I got to be in responsibility. I created the whole thing, you know, looking at, I created my relationship with my husband. I created my relationship with my daughter. And he did the best he could. And when I got to that place, then I could be like, okay, now I can detach myself from how he should be parenting my daughter, how he should be showing up for my daughter. He's not capable. It's clear they don't currently have a relationship. She's 20. And we moved across the country about 6.5 years ago. I had gotten sole custody in 2015. I changed my name back to my maiden name in 2016. And she had asked me when I started talking about it in 2015, if she could take my name. That's a big deal for a 12-year-old. And so I put it off for a year because it's a big thing. And then she was like, I want to have your last name. And I was like, okay. So I went to my ex-husband and I said, this is what she wants. And he had to sign off on it. He wasn't going to fight because that's what she wanted. And it was kind of perfect because then we moved to California. So nobody here knows her by another name. So she didn't have to do any explanation. Mm-hmm. I was doing the explanation, registering her for school and her birth certificate and all the other things and going, now I have the court order, you know, for bank accounts and all of that stuff. But it gave her freedom to start anew. And it gave me freedom to start anew. And I tell people now I have a 10 out of 10 relationship with my ex-husband. We don't talk often, but we do communicate. She doesn't have much communication with him. And that's their journey. Mm-hmm. And I had to let that go. Mm-hmm. But when his parents passed away, I reached out to him, connected with him. And anytime we went back to the East Coast, I would go bring my daughter to see her grandfather because that matters. And we did a Zoom call in, you know, when the pandemic happened and we weren't going to be traveling, we did a Zoom call with her grandfather. And he passed away in January of 2021 from COVID. And so I'm super glad that late in 2020, we had that opportunity by Zoom, which was comical because he was 91 trying to figure out an iPad with my ex-husband was trying to help him. I mean, I took pictures of the Zoom chat because it was just so magical in my mind of, I'm amazed that he could do it.
Yes,
you know, because it was so great. So when I think about single parenting, the biggest step that I made that made a huge difference was not putting anything on my daughter, my relationship with my ex. Mm-hmm. I made that a clear statement in our mediation is we did not get to talk poorly of each other in our daughter's presence. And later, even now, I will not tolerate people talking poorly of my ex-husband to me, even when she's not there, because I don't have any energy on him. He's doing the best he can. Why are we trashing him? He's not here. You know, that's the biggest gift we can give our kids is even if we're not co-parenting, which I don't really, we haven't been for, you know, 8 years, he's still a part of her life and always will be. So we get to treat that relationship with respect, regardless of what she's created. I get to not add to it. And I think that's important.
Absolutely. Isn't it interesting how you know, the individual person that was in the relationship has moved on, but other friends or family, they still hold on to it. Even after you've done the work, you're now at peace about the situation, the relationship, the separation, the divorce, your ex, but other people still aren't.
And I think it's part of it is they were there when they saw the thing that went wrong.
Yeah.
And they haven't done the work. And I had that experience of being that person because my niece got married 6 years ago. And when I went to the wedding, there's my sister talking to her ex-husband's new wife. I mean, they've been married for 20 years, but so it's not quite new, but to me, it's, you know, his second wife. And there was a lot of contention because they've been divorced a long time. And I was just looking at her going, I think I missed something. When did you guys become friends? And she was like, well, kids are grown. She's sticking around. You know, they made this decision, but of course, because I live across the country, I'm not involved in the daily life of my siblings anymore. And she was like, and we actually get along pretty well. She's like, so we went out for drinks one night. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Right.
It was just, I was so shocked, but I wasn't also in this place of, but you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. I just was like, I need a minute just to catch up. And really authentically, like watching as my niece then had children, watching both sets of grandparents get together, like multiple both sets now from both sides, and celebrate together, that's the best gift we can give our kids. And, you know, it takes a lot of work. It takes a tremendous amount of work and inner work, work together, and also forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes not listening to the other people who are out there, because my daughter's godfather still has a lot of ideas. And I'm like, okay, I'm not having that conversation right now.
Mm.
That's your relationship with your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
You figure it out. I'm not there for that because it doesn't serve me. All it does is get me all ramped up about remembering something from 20 years ago. How's that serving me in my life? Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the portion of what you were talking about, just in general, summing it up, letting go of any attachment to the relationship your child has with the other parent is so important because they can feel or sense the energy, for lack mm-hmm. of a better term. They can feel or sense your still having negative emotions or just still being emotional about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. And that is a really critical step for people to take, for parents to take. What suggestions or tips can you give for people who need to let go of any attachment to the other parent? What can they actually do? What does that look like?
Oh, well, this is one of my favorite things, energy. It's called churn and burn. I wrote letters upon letters to my ex-husband. All the things I wanted to say to him about our marriage, the way he showed up, how he was, you know, in relationship with my daughter, and all the things. And then I burned it. Then I tore it up and I burned it. And then I had to do it multiple times. It doesn't just go away and want, you know, we were together for 12 years. We were married for 11. And then we were co-parenting for a number of years after that. So there was a lot. And so they turn and burn until we get to this place of neutrality. Mm-hmm. Just being like, okay, it is what it is, for lack of a better term. Now, What am I grateful for in that relationship? And anytime I wanted to be like, I would think back to one specific episode. My daughter is adopted because I have a heart condition, which would not, they didn't want me to get pregnant. And we have five attempts before we got our daughter. And it was hard. It was a hard road for 18 months. I was emotional. I tell people I'm Irish and I feel all the emotions. And my ex-husband, that's where some of the things that he was dealing with in his mental health actually served us, because he never got that upset. And there was one moment when we were in an argument with the adoption agency, because my daughter's birth mother has some blood clotting disorder. And my pediatrician was well aware of it. We had gone to Boston Children's. We had it all handled. But my pediatrician is a very busy man and was not constantly writing the adoption agency because he was doing other things. And the adoption director said something to me along the lines of, if you continue to get in the way of my communication with your pediatrician, it jeopardizes Megan's relationship, Megan's placement with you. My husband picked up the phone and said, where do you get off talking to my wife that way? So anytime I get frustrated, I'm like, or I did, I don't, I'm well past it now. I would be like, he saved the day. He saved the day. And we moved forward. We found another lawyer because I was like, that adoption agency does not need to be in the way. Because the doctor was like, I've sent her like three emails. What is she talking about? I wasn't in the way of anything. It was her control.
Yeah.
But his ability to stay, talk about staying neutral. And like, that is the reason, one of the reasons we have our daughter, because he was able to talk me down from all my emotional ups and downs in during the whole 18-month ordeal. So when you look at, once you come to that place of neutrality, you look at moments of gratitude. I would not have my daughter if I didn't marry my husband. My life would have been very different if I didn't marry my husband. I wouldn't have this daughter, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, you make one choice and that directs everything else in your life. Like, every choice you make directs your life. I would have had a very different life if I hadn't married him. And my daughter and I have an incredibly close relationship. Ironically or not, she looks just like me in a lot of ways. Which is so weird, you know, that people are like, oh my gosh, she looks just like you. And one thing that people will say is, you don't even need to tell her she's adopted. I'm like, are you paying for her counseling? we have a picture of her birth mother with holding the baby with me behind her. You don't think she'll question it? Right? But what the beauty of being in that place of gratitude is, it doesn't mean, oh my gosh, he's the most amazing person on the planet. Mm-hmm. It's, I'm grateful for these moments. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in gratitude, I can't be in gratitude and pissed off at the same time.
Right.
In most cases.
Right.
I could probably manage it my Irish self if I try. But in the reality is, I don't have that energy. And that's one reason is I let it all out. Whatever way it looks like, I churn and burn other people. And I also yell sometimes when nobody's home. The dog is like, why are you yelling at me? I'm like, I'm not yelling at you. But it's like, get the energy out of you, because as long as you're carrying it, that energy, like you were saying, the energy, the perception, the children pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
And also forgiving yourself. I never look back and say my marriage was a mistake, because that would mean every part of my marriage was a mistake, including my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not. She's the greatest gift I've ever been given, literally handed to me, the greatest gift I've ever been given. And it doesn't mean she's perfect. Doesn't mean our relationship is perfect. And it doesn't mean our marriage was perfect. Doesn't mean our divorce is perfect, but it was perfect for us. And I think that's important to remember.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I picked up two main things out of how to let go of any attachment. So just as a quick recap for those who are listening, find a way to release the emotions, the energy, whether it be churning and burning or yelling, do something that is going to help you release. And secondly, find moments of what are you grateful for from within that particular relationship. And third, forgive yourself. Love it.
Yeah, all absolutely. Important. So important.
Yes. So can you talk to us about the importance of putting your oxygen mask on first, especially as a parent?
Yeah, it's so important. And, you know, prior to me living in California, I was a registered nurse and I worked as a registered nurse for 25 years. And, you know, I'm a supporter. I take care of people all the time. And my biggest breakthrough was actually, oh, wow, I get to choose me. Because one of the things I noticed during that time was I was taking care of everybody else and not myself. The year before my mom died, my husband broke his arm and wasn't able to work. My mom was they were both in the hospital at the same time. Then I had my daughter. I was working full-time as a nurse. I was constantly at the hospital. It was like, should I just get a bed here? Because I'm running from one side to the other and I'm not telling my mother my husband broke his arm because that would upset her. So it's like playing all the games. And I actually ended up in the hospital because I was so run down. Yeah. And I was like, and that's where I learned, whoa, if I don't put my oxygen mask on, if I don't take care of me first, everything else falls apart. Mm-hmm. And it literally did. I was like, oh, this is no longer working. So when you look at putting the oxygen mask on first, it looks a million different ways, energy. Yeah. For me, now it was moving to California. It made zero sense for me to move my daughter across the country after seventh grade. If you look at it from a logical perspective, away from my family, people were like, what are you doing? And in the end, it was a dream I'd had in 1990 and we moved in 2016. I forgot about it for like 25 years. Wow. And we're shoveling out. We lived in the Boston area. We're shoveling out of 7.5 feet of snow the winter of 2014, 2015. And my daughter says, can we move to California? And I said, sure. And then I said, huh, California, that sounds familiar. I had friends that were in San Diego. And I remembered when I was in the Navy in 1990, I put in for San Diego and I ended up in Virginia. I was like, huh, San Diego's come back around. There's a reason. So I looked at what would it take for me to do that? Was I being selfish? What, you know, I looked at all the things because you got to do that as a parent of whether you're single or married. Mm-hmm. And whether you're a woman or a man, you got to look at how does it impact everybody. And I was like, I think it's time for a break for both of us. Mm. And what I learned when I came out here, it's so funny, was I can breathe and I feel free. When I feel free, I can give better to her and anybody else. And as we were talking before we hit record, you know, this isn't just for women. This is for men too. I look at my brothers and the men that I've met throughout the last, you know, 3-4 years who are single fathers who are really invested in their children. And whatever they need to do. You know, I used to laugh at my brother who was a state trooper and he would go, and he doesn't smoke and he doesn't drink and he doesn't gamble. He would go to Vegas. Huh? But he would go with a couple friend of his and his second wife, they would go and that would fill them up and they would come back and be able to be better parents and grandparents. You know, that's how they showed up. So everybody's got their thing. You know, I have another brother that raised 5 dogs in his house. We called it 20 paws,
kennel. And that gave him like energy. And it, so everybody's got a different thing, whether it's fishing, whether it's sometimes it's going out with the girlfriends. It's also looking at how do I fill my cup? Not so I don't pour from an empty cup, but I saw this on social media a few years ago, and I wish I could credit the artist, but it was filling your cup such that you pour from the saucer. Oh. And it was a beautiful, this beautiful image that I cannot find again. But it was because when you pour from the cup, your cup still empties out. But if you're pouring from the saucer, meaning you're pouring directly into you, then you're giving from the overflow.
Right.
And that is so critical because you're never giving from a place of resentment or that feeling, which we all have, and it's not wrong. We all wear ourselves out in some way, shape, or form at some point or another. But when I've gone out in nature, that's a big thing for me. It's one of the reasons I moved to California was so I could see the ocean and be near the ocean. And but when I come back from a walk with a dog or spend time at the park or spend time hiking with my best friend, I'm in a better place to deal with any stress in my life, whether it's kids. My daughter's much older now, so it's not, I don't have that kind of stress anymore, but it's business. I've run my own business. So it's, you know, finances, it's whatever. When I'm filled up, I'm not like that. You know, I'm not the hot-tempered Irish person as I normally can be, right? I can be the fun, jolly Irish girl.
Awesome. So. Yeah. Thank you for sharing all of that. So whether it be changing locations because an environmental change or just a change of your normal scenery, all of those things absolutely can help with just coming back to your natural state, coming back to where you can get back to being balanced, so to speak. And choosing yourself first, taking care of yourself first, and taking a break when needed, especially as parents, single parents, we definitely need to learn to be more okay with taking a break and not feeling bad about it, not feeling guilty about it. Because if we're not rested in all areas, then we're going to have those that agitation or frustration type of feeling and energy about us whenever we're communicating, not just with our children, but with other people. It flows over into your job and everything else. So, yeah.
100%. I saw something the other day that said you don't need to earn rest.
Yes.
And I'm in a training program now and we have scheduled rest days.
Yes.
And it's the best way I can describe it is so you're better able to show up on the other days. So it's not even like rest when you're tired. It's like actually schedule opportunities for rest, whatever that looks like for you.
Absolutely. Oh, that speaks to my heart there. I'm really passionate about time management, and in the time management, whenever I'm coaching clients and for myself as well, that's one of the main things and the first things that I start teaching people to do is put a break in your schedule. Don't wait to see what you have left over, if you have anything left over, and then try to find time to take a break. No, put your breaks in first if you have to, but make 100%. Sure that you're very intentional about that. Awesome. I'm so happy.
I love that. But I'm going to be doing that on my own as I schedule myself tomorrow.
Absolutely. Even on throughout each day, even if it's a short break, you know, and then having those days of where you take a nice full long break. So both need it.
100%. I love that.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So we've covered quite a bit of information and really important information is what's important to me about letting go of any attachment and putting your oxygen mask on first.
Was there anything else that may be on your heart or that you just want to share towards just a single parenting aspect, maybe that you've dealt with and you're like, you know what? Let me make sure I mention this for anyone else that may be dealing with it. Just anything in the area of single parenting.
I think for sure the honestly making sure you're taking care of yourself. The kids are important, and honestly, don't forget to shower during the day. Don't like those little things, even though that can make a world of difference. Make sure you eat. You're not just eating what's left on the kids' plate. Eat your food. Take care of yourself first. That it all goes back to the oxygen mask, but that includes oh right, when did I last eat? I think that's good as a parent. My husband would come home from work on a Saturday and go, "What'd you have for lunch?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't remember." Right. So I think that's a good thing for any parent, but particularly single parents, because if you're the one who's doing it all, make sure you feed yourself. It's important.
Yes, absolutely. And what would you say, as maybe in a way to encourage or just actually give someone tips on how to handle when other relatives or friends have not let go of the past with the ex-spouse or the ex-partner? And just kind of reminding you of kind of where this question is coming back from when you were talking about your daughter's, I believe, godfather, you know, just as an example, how did you handle that conversation for those who may be afraid of either conflict or who just don't know how, you know, how to say, hey, I'm okay now. You know, you need to work on that yourself. Is there, you know, anything that you can suggest?
Well, it's super easy when it's text, which is how we communicate now, because I just don't engage.
Yeah,
And I
good.
just move on to the next thing, oh, here's a new picture of Meg or something like that. I just don't even respond. And in person, the last few times we were together, it's, I'm good now. I don't need to hear it anymore. And it's also not invalidating their experience. Because if you say, oh, no, he's not like that, well, that's not. That's that person's experience. He has his own experience with his cousin. But I can say, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to go down that road right now.
I like that. I like that. And I couldn't find the words, but when you said that you don't want to invalidate their experience, that's the other part of it because they've gone through this with you, you know? For someone, any of us who have gone through a breakup, anyone that was connected to us during that time, they've gone through some part of this as well with us. And we don't want to discount their feelings. We don't want to discount their experiences. And I love how you just focused on, well, I'm good now. Very good. I like it. Awesome. I appreciate all of this information. The conversation today has been great, and I know it's going to be helpful and beneficial to anyone who's listening. But I think that we are now at the point of where we can segue to what I like to call my fun segment. And so this is where I am going to ask you one to three random questions. Has nothing to do with the topic today. It's just to have some fun. So they're going to be out of the box, okay? Awesome. So one of the first questions that I want to ask you would be, what is your theme song? Like, what's your go-to song?
Unstoppable by Sia.
Let me write that one down. I love it. Okay, straight to the point. You didn't even have to think twice about
No, I don't. And you'll find out why in a few minutes when I tell you what I do.
perfect. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the next question. What is one fun fact about you or a fun fact that you know about something else?
A fun fact about me is I worked as a cook at a dude ranch for a year in
No, you did
Colorado. I
not.
did. I ran away from nursing. I ran away from home when I was 27. I ran away to Colorado thinking I was gonna marry a cowboy. It did not happen. just in case we're wondering. In case anybody's wondering, it didn't happen. But it was a really extraordinary experience. So, yeah.
That is, I love it. That was so out of the box. That is perfect. Okay, one final question I have to ask you. What is your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, there's so many. No.
Yeah.
It's honestly, it's like people who don't keep their word. You know, people that lie or don't keep their word or say they're going to do something, it like triggers the heck out of me. And it just annoys me to no end. And I think it's because I was raised where you kept your word no matter what. Integrity was everything. My brother even named his boat Integrity First. So it's a family thing.
Yeah.
And when people don't keep their word, you're going to get the fired up Diane for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely, I can add that one to mine too. It just kind of like arcs my nerve. Because you have so many different things that you can choose to say, but you chose to say something that you're not following through on. Come
right.
on.
Exactly. Exactly.
I get it.
I love
Good
it.
Stuff. Awesome. So thank you for entertaining us during that quick little
thank
segment.
You.
So I want to give you the opportunity to just share any final thoughts, a final nugget, a mantra, whatever it is that you want to share as the final takeaway from today's topic.
So I have a little mantra / question that I ask myself whenever I am faced with an opportunity or anything. And I literally have a little post-it on my desk that says, does this serve me?
Ooh.
So every opportunity, every question, sometimes it's food related. Should I eat that? You know, does it serve me? And sometimes the chocolate serves me and sometimes the chocolate doesn't, depending on what I choose. But ask yourself that question and it allows you to actually be connected with what you're actually doing at the moment.
Being intentional.
Yep. 100%. And it's four words that bring you back every time.
Yes. Absolutely. Very nice. I like that. Mm. Does this serve me? Yeah. I can see where that can be helpful to a lot of people.
Yeah.
When they're in the moment of making decision A or decision B.
100% or A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know?
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. So I want to give you the opportunity to just kind of share about you. How can we support you? Do you have a website, social media, a book, whatever it is? This is the opportunity for you to promote yourself, talk about yourself, and just give us an opportunity to support you and everything that you have going on.
Awesome. Thank you, Energy. So I told you I'd tell you why Unstoppable yes. was so important. Well, it's the name of my company. It's called Unstoppable Heart Coaching.
Nice.
And I teach women midlife and who have teens and older, because that's when you generally have a little more time to go from stuck to unstoppable. And Unstoppable Heart comes from, I was born with severe congenital heart defects, and I had a survival rate of zero without surgery when I was born in 1968. And I had an extraordinary surgeon, and I'm unstoppable to the point, Energy, just to share this little thing. Apparently I really like the West, because I hiked the Grand Canyon from rim to rim in one day, 16 hours with some folks in 2019.
What?
Someone with my heart condition should not have been able to do that, but I've had extraordinary care. So I'm committed to helping women and men. I have coached men as well to become unstoppable by allowing themselves to actually create a vision. It's how I got to California. It's how I got my daughter actually was creating a vision. And when we look at obstacles as opportunities, that's when we become unstoppable. So that theme of unstoppable from Sia, that like is in my mind all the time, because we often put up our own obstacles. I have a website at dianembyron.com. It's super easy to find. And I talk there a little bit more about my story. I'm also a two-time cancer survivor. So I've really like created opportunities for myself to overcome things. I used to call myself a championship overcomer. I don't say that anymore because I don't want to keep creating things to overcome.
Hello.
Right. Another tip. Don't keep saying things like that. Don't ask for patience because you'll find opportunities to practice it.
Yes.
But what I'm doing, and I'm writing a book called Unstoppable Heart from Surviving to Thriving, all about all the things that I've been through in my life to give hope to not just women and men who are listening to this podcast or who read the book, but also the parents of children with congenital heart defects. I have a deep connection to them. I worked as a nurse for them a 20, well, maybe 30 years ago now. And I know how scary it could be. So I want to give them hope that their kids are not going to just survive, but they can thrive when they're given the right environment. And I want to support them in giving them the hints that how my parents raised me without having any idea what the heck they were doing, because it was 1968. There was no Google. Right? So my mission, and that's why I love your mission, because you're supporting single parents to be unstoppable in a million different ways as well, is really to create a shift in this country or in the world where we get support and we actually create the vision that we want for ourselves. And that's important to me. And as a single parent, as a married woman, 20 years ago when I got married, the vision is still the same. Everybody gets to be unstoppable.
Love it. That is so awesome. Everyone, make sure you take the time and go support. I will make sure to have your links and
awesome.
The description under this episode. So thank you so much again for your time. And that's it for this episode. So everyone who's listening, thank you for your time and watching everything that we discussed today regarding single parents and taking care of yourself first and finding out and deciding, does this particular thing serve you? This is a lot of good information. And if you also feel that it's valuable, make sure that you share this episode with your friends, your family, your coworkers, you name it, because everyone can find something, some nugget, some sort of tip that they can also implement in their lives as well. If you would like to also be a guest on my podcast to talk about anything, single parenting, co-parenting, you name it, be sure to reach out to me. You can go to my website, coachenergy.com, and just reach out there and let me know what you are interested in discussing. I appreciate you. Please make sure that you comment below or at least subscribe if you have not already done so. And just always remember that when you master your mind, and when you master your emotions, and when you master your assignment, you can live your purpose and live on purpose. Thanks so much. Until next time. Bye-bye.